Alright, the Lord is good. Okay, being the last Tuesday, so we'll say many things, alright, which we'll pray with, we'll say many things here and there, we'll just keep on rounding them together. But I want to speak finally as the last portion of the teaching we've been having and prayer session we've been having and what we call them, praying to change the seasons, that is changing your season. And like I said, this is not talking about the season of a nation. It's not talking about season outside that doesn't depend on you, but talking about your own personal season in life. Let's just review briefly some things that we should know about that we have discussed here and there. And that's the fact that the way God ordained it is like a school. You understand? Like a school. And you are in different classes, you know. And that day I was about to enter into an exam hall. That was just a few days ago. In fact, we did the practicals of the exam today. That was last week. And the student came late, and I was asking the student, what class are you in? He said, I'm in final year. I said, that is, get out of here. He said, I'm in final year. He said, you cannot be in final year and be writing pathology. I teach pathology, and it's done in the fourth year. You know, some of my points. Now, what he meant is that his classmates are in the final year, and he still deceives himself, very common in my school, he still deceives himself that he's in that class, but he hasn't passed pathology. And until you pass, are you getting my point? You cannot move to the next level. But he keeps on, anyway, I can't bore you, I don't want to bore you with the details. But I looked at him simply, that which class are you in? And he thought I wanted to know where he's supposed to be and where his classmates are. I kind of didn't recognize him, so I thought maybe he was confused. So I wanted to be sure that he was taking that exam. Do you follow what I'm saying? So which class are you in? So I'm in final year. And then I get out of here. This is for fourth year students. I'm met in 6 years. Finally, you should be in 6 years. This is for fourth year students. And then finally, after a while, I got the point. And you know, I'm talking about it. That's how life is. It's not how long you have been there. It is whether you have fulfilled the things that are required to move you to the next level. Do you follow my point? Yes, that's how life is. It's not just come and tell me I'm in final year. You haven't passed pastoral. You don't fool yourself, my friend. In fourth year. Why? You haven't fulfilled. That's how I say. Life is in seasons. Is in what? Seasons. Before you move to the next season, you must fulfill the matters that have to do with the current season. That's the way it is. So, though you enter into university and they tell you that this course is supposed to be for 5 years, they don't mean that the fact that you're entering the year 2011, you will be out in 2016. They don't mean that. What they mean is that there are courses that must be fulfilled within a certain period of time, and when you fulfill them, you will be out of here. And we propose that it should take you 5 years to complete all those courses, and we have grouped them into different levels. You take the first set, you fulfill them, you go to the next level. You take that one, you go to the next level. And until you fulfill what's there for each season, you're not ready to go to the next season. So a lot of us go to pray like that. My students say, I'm in final year, God. I'm in final year. Say, hey, relax. You have not passed, you haven't passed pathology. You're in fourth year. Don't deceive me. You get the logic? So when we're talking about seasons, therefore changing, it's not just about using prayer. Christians believe in prayer more than the Lord expects them to. Are you getting my point? They pray about things that they shouldn't bother praying about. They labor themselves thinking that it's by, and Jesus warned about it, that Gentiles, that's how they pray. They think that it's by much repetition. Do you follow my point? Much repetition, keep on saying. After a while, the thing will not finally happen. No, you must understand that things have seasons, and there are things that must be accomplished in each season. So if you want your season to change, one of the things you do in life is you locate quickly what it is that's keeping you in this season. Like I said, you know, these just 3 days we're talking about, so make foundation for prayer. We can't say many, everything. But we have explained it here and there before, all right? That each season, I think you're supposed to accomplish. So one of the prayers you must learn to pray is for God to open your eyes to understand what is keeping you here. When it comes to spiritual development, don't forget we said it. Most important thing God is doing in your life is transforming you into the image of Christ. He's not making you rich. He's not healing your body. He's not trying to make a name for himself through you. The most important thing is what? It's transforming you into the exact image of Christ. And when that has been accomplished, all other things are what? Added unto you. Therefore, in this season, you must understand the degree of resemblance to Christ that you must achieve before you go to the next season. Because there are things you cannot, in that same development, there are things you cannot enter into. that is in the image of Christ until you go to another level to understand him better. Because what God is doing is revealing himself to us.
Are you getting my point?
Yes. And listen, all our interactions in life, that's what he's using them to do. He's revealing himself to us. Sometimes what he wants you to know about him, you can't know it because of certain problems inside you. Different, like Jesus spoke to disciples, I'm going to do this, and then he said, no. He said, there are things I want to tell you, what I would like to reveal to you about myself, but you can't understand it yet. So what God does is that, listen, there are things you will pray from now to tomorrow, study the scriptures from now to tomorrow. As long as you're a university student, there are things you will never learn. You must graduate first. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you may desire God's say, listen, I know you want, you think so, but don't worry. No matter how hard I talk now, until I bring you out of this place and expose you to certain things in life, you will not understand. One of my just came back in the missionary to East Africa. I talk about him all the time, right? He's been here before, Pastor Corey. When he came back, he called me. He said, what is it, warfare? He said, thank God I came back alive. You can be here and be praying and praying. There are things that you can't even seem to understand until you get to the center of. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, listen to our series on Genesis. We want to talk about why Abraham used to build an altar. Now, what used to happen is that he'll go through an experience, and God will show him his power in that experience, and he'll come and build an altar so as to accommodate the new revelation of God that he now has. Do you follow my point? I mean, he took his wife, and then he returned his wife. Are you getting what I'm saying? Understand this. They kidnapped your wife. You expect a phone call for ransom. In fact, they've been calling you for ransom. You know, that's what's going on in Nigeria these days. They're calling you, like, all right, I don't know, give us 5 million naira. And you look at, spend it. And you will spell 5 million. Do I look like I can spell 5 million? You know? And then, they say, don't worry, I'm going to kill her if you don't bring money. The next morning, wake up. The same people that took your wife away. Quickly arrive, open the door, come down, come, please, come here. Okay, please, no, please, no, please, pray for us. And then they run away again. You have not even told police. You only told maybe your friend and your pastor. And you guys just prayed. That way, next time you want to go out at night, you won't be afraid. You won't be afraid. If anybody says, who are you? Say, I'm the woman that his wife was kidnapped. But the kidnappers realized it was a risky venture. And they brought her back the next day. Do you want to experience that? They were looking like this guy is dangerous. The kind of boldness with which you talk. But you see, there are certain revelations you will not have come to until you went that, through that experience. Are you getting my point? Yeah. And that was what happened to Abraham. You are following me. So that's like everything you go through in life. Always check. There is something. You know, we said on Saturday, forget all the noise. There's one thing. There's a still small voice. Something that God wants to pass across to you. Don't forget that. So, you must learn the lessons for this season so you can step into the next season. How many of you read this book, Happiest School on Earth? I was reading the book a few days ago, and the first 40 pages was what I read. I said, I haven't been reading a while. I suddenly began to realize, reading that book again, that indeed, God is alive as well, and is planning even the affairs of generations yet more. When I read the book, you know what I'm saying? There are different aspects of God you will learn, you must, and that's what he's trying to do. That's the primary thing. But there are different ones that, in fact, just by the way, next year I was telling my wife, let's do something, just the year is closing. Let's take a few days, maybe 1 week, and we'll just sit down. We'll just study from the book. We'll look at different stories and see what how the Bible teaches about, so we can get some lessons out of it. It's a very beautiful book. We should read it. It's a very, very, very beautiful book. One of the things that struck me there, let me not go into that now, but one of the things that struck me there was how Demos Chakarian's father was laboring very hard and the business was not moving. It wasn't business, it was working somewhere. He was becoming very sick. He had this, but he used to inhale, you know, leather from dust, and dust from leather. He was now had this cough that was going to kill him. His lungs were beginning to fibrose. And one day they went to church and prayed. And they opened the Bible and read from the scriptures. That blessed shall you be in the fruit of the field and the fruit of the cattle and stuff like that. And to him was a revelation. He stopped working there and decided to start dealing in produce. And decided to start raising dairy animals. From there he became very rich and became exceedingly rich. Something struck me there again. I want to tell my wife, you see, People say that anything that you like, just conceive it and pronounce it. Don't be so. There are things that God ordained for you. Are you getting my point? Yeah. There are things He ordained. So you do this one, boy, nobody may send you. Do this one, you will see. Honestly, a few years after the guy took that turn, he wasn't the same again. And I began to buy land, you understand my point? Began to own animals. A few years, well, they owned the largest dairy farm in that part of the United States. And they were now aiming to be the biggest in the United States. Then from there to becoming the biggest in the world. He told them the biggest in the world that time had less than 3,000 animals. He said, good, we are going for 3,000. It began somewhere, you understand? And he was going through certain experiences in life. Things were not moving. He went to church and then they prayed. And the revelation came in summary. You are not doing what you are supposed to be doing. Now, like I told you, I can't remember what I wanted to say when I went to the ground. Just came to my mind. I guess somebody needed that. I think somebody needed it. All right? So it's good you heard it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So we're talking about the seasons of life. So that's the thing about season. When season is going to change, it's not just about desire the change. Just decide that pray, let it change. No. So listen, we must accomplish what is required for one season. So we'll step into the next. And I said last time, so going to that next season again, we start asking, because if the seed is proper, you get my point? If the appropriate, or if the seed is well prepared, the Bible says that the appropriate body will be given to it. Do you follow my point? Yes, it will be given to it. So sometimes the seed inside us, all right, is not actually well prepared yet for the next season we want to get into. And then that's what we need to pray, so that God will give us understanding. And we used that one to pray last time, that the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall be that. There's something that I need to know about where I plan to get into. Without, or except that I know it, I cannot step into it. Otherwise, I will make a mess of it. And God is keeping me here until I've learned that lesson. Very important. All right? Now, we're just saying many things to put all of them together. My time is running, so let me get to the main thing I want to say today. Now, as I was thinking about what I would say today, all right, and what we used to pray, something came to my mind. And I believe it's right. And I wrote on a piece of paper, complacency. What did I call it?
Complacency.
That Andrew Mack series that I recommended, that, you know, a lot of them we had there. There's one talk about anger management. In that message, there was something he said that really, really stuck with me. And he talked about anger. And I've experienced it before myself. I find out that, listen to this, talking about prayer for change of seasons, all right? What I want to bring out is the issue of complacency. And that's the fact that one of the reasons why our seasons don't change is that we don't realize it, but we are happy where we are. I don't know that you're right. We may not think so, but we are not really, really unhappy with what is going on. We are complacent. We have come to accept what is inferior as normal. That may not be the issue with everybody. But you see, when the world is coming for different people, have different things, that's their issue. Are you getting my point? Like Anakin will say, one of those messages I listened to, that there are many things that was only about healing as an example, that may be holding back somebody's healing. Now for certain people, there are certain issues. And then when they have settled that, there are other issues that may come up and they have to tackle. So that's the way it is with life. So as we are saying this, just know the one that really applies to you. The Holy Spirit will sit on it and let you understand it. Now, I was saying that one of the problems is that people are not, they are complacent, they are happy, they are comfortable. Now, don't ever forget, there is a difference between contentment and complacency. Contentment simply means you are walking with God and you recognize the seasons of life as God is taking you through them. Complacency is that God says, come to a land that will show you. You get to Haran and you get there and you are okay. You just prosper in Haran. He said, leave the promised land, leave Egypt, we are going to the promised land. The first plot of good land you see, you want to settle. Moses has to make you swear that you still go and conquer the rest of the land. That's complacency. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's complacency. The other day I talked to my wife, we were discussing something, and I said that some of my friends, actually a senior to me, and so one of the things I've noticed about him is that his attitude towards things in life, I don't want to judge the things of another man seriously, I get my point, but I just want to say something to you, because my wife, I said, I think his attitude towards things in life is the reason why some of those things won't come to him. Now, please, Mike Murdock says, whatever you don't respect, you don't attract. Like, if we are talking as an example, and let's talk about maybe material things, society, and all of that. And you see somebody uses a phone. You know, I don't believe in expensive phones, you know. You know, it's against my religion.
Yes,
yes, it's against my religion. All right. I was watching a comedy, and the comedian said that Jews, that Indian, he's an Indian, all right? Indian heritage, he's Canadian. People say Jews are cheap. He said, well, Jews are not cheap. Yeah, they inspect things and check whether there's quality in it. And if there's quality is in it, they'll pay for it. He said, but the Indian will look at it. He's an Indian, just, you know, it's a comedy, you know, just making mockery of things. That the Indian will look at it and say, how much is this? $20. I can have it made for $4. That they always try to, you know, bring things in. Now, I'm not sure there's a difference between somebody, that's why I don't like expensive phones. Like, a lot of those things are hype, you know, and then the people really don't require it, just want to be able to carry it. I'm carrying a boat, seven. How much is it? 200,000. What does it do? The fellow does not know. I'm just carrying a boat, seven. And you have to know. There's no boat, seven, don't worry. I'm just listening to talk, all right? So, you just have to know, you understand? But that's not what I'm talking about. There are things that have inherent value. Do you get my point? Yes, a lot of things have inherent value. An iPad, I don't have one. A pad, I don't need one. Like, nothing I'm doing with it. But it has inherent value. There's something it does. Why don't I have one? I don't see what I'm going to do with it. Because I always carry this computer everywhere. And I can't manage two of them. I need this keypad. I'm always writing. I'm always typing. So I need a keypad. All right? So, but it has inherent value. Now, this is my friend. What happens to him? If I shut up in his office with an iPad, you see, this kind of thing, sir. Why are people bothering to spend money on things like this? And I'll say to him, because they need it for something. What are they needing it for? People just like to spend money. If you get into his presence, if you enter his place where he is, and you're smelling very nice, which perfume is that? And you tell him. And he says, oh, that's very nice. How much does it go for? Tell him the price. He will turn his head. Just turn it to one side. And I feel like, Agaku, better soup. It is still money that kills it, haunts it. You know, dresses it and sells it to people. Everything, you go turn here, go one side, turn here, go one side. So when I told my wife, I said, this is this guy's problem. And I've seen people like that before. They are happy, like, oh God, we have left Egypt. Do you get my point? We have left Egypt. Praise God. But they get to the edge of the promised land and they camp there, they're very happy. They are very happy. They are very happy. When they were growing up, like this, Miles Monroe was saying, in that message I said you should listen to, there are 11 children in one room, but at least now, it's only him, his wife, and two children in two rooms, and it's okay, that's like that for the last 20 years, and he's happy. Why? Because he hasn't forgotten that, there was a time we were 11 in one room, 13, 11 children and two parents. So now, he's very happy. Talk here, talk good there, and I lie. As you are talking, the guy hasn't forgotten that, there used to be 13 of us in one room. Now we're only four in two rooms. You can laugh. What is the truth? Except God opens your eyes. You won't live beyond that level. A scripture came to my mind as I was thinking about it. Psalm 119, verse 18. David said, open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. The Lord is good. Now, that scripture, all right, is very important. David said, open my eyes. Let's read it quickly. Psalm 119. You know what I'm saying? This praying to change seasons. Sometimes, until you are tired of the current season, you're not going to the next one. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. There are many interpretations for that. Listen, when they were going to the promised land, one of the things the Lord told them is the kind of land that they are going to meet. They were not used to it. They were used to the land in which they had to irrigate. The Lord had to explain to them that there are certain kinds of land where people don't irrigate. When it's time for farming, the irrigation falls from heaven. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, there are things that people don't struggle for. That you can get to a particular place in life and those things just fall from heaven. One of the things the Lord taught me long ago, you know, I learned that, I don't even know how I learned it. You know, God has been good to me for a long time. And the thing he's giving me greatest of all, right, is this understanding. I'm telling you, those days, you know, you are still there, you see a lot of them around. When people get there, say, how much is that car? 20 million. When they have finished stealing money, that is, you saw a car. You admired it, you did. Until you heard the price and you realize that your God can never take you to that level in life. So you say only the devil takes people there. So you just condemn everything. Boom! After they have finished stealing money. Thereby saying, since I will never steal, it's not my portion. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I learned long ago not to talk such nonsense. One day, my wife and I went to Nareshitu in Lagos. I can still remember. Let I just stop. You know, they arrest people for looking at brand new cars. One looked at a very nice Jeep and all of that. I told the girl, the sales girl, that, don't worry. My check never cleared. I told my wife, let us go. I knew I didn't listen. I did not have the money. One day, even that, they went to buy a small car. So my wife said, I like that one. Please don't mind me. I just said, I will knock you now. Who doesn't like it? Is it not money that we don't have? You know, this one, you call it a discussion now. It was brand new that time. We're driving, I said, I like that. Look at. This guy, take time. who do you think does not like it? The fact that I'm driving past it, you think it is because I don't like it? I like it too. The problem is that there's lack of cooperation between my pockets and the people selling it. But there are things that never came to my mind. Hey, what are you doing with those kind of things? Listen, I don't have the money, period, that's all. It's not a sin. No matter how expensive a Rolls Royce is, right now, I say, Pastor Frank, would you like to buy one? Well, it's not a prayer point, amen. I mean, praying about such things is irrigating with your feet. I mean, just wait for them to rain from heaven. That's what the Bible says. And we're getting to a place in life where they're going to fall from heaven, amen. Yeah. I'm going to make it a prayer point. I have other things to pray about. But I like it, fine. We give you a ride in one. You'll pray better, amen. So trust me, your prayer will change. You'll be able to focus on the things that will transform the society. Right now, you're spending too much time praying on food. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm saying, well, let me not see too much of that. The point I'm making is this. People get very complacent. I was talking about Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack said something, that's the one that struck with me. He said, listen, there are times you get angry. So there was one man, they diagnosed that he had cancer and he got angry. That, what kind of insult is this? And he told the cancer, listen, let me explain to you. This body is my own, not your own. He was angry. The guy was like, what kind of insult? Man, come on, don't try this. So he said, no, forget. You get up in the morning and go and jog and run. Finally, the cancer ran away. He said, go jog. So keep your body to yourself. We'll find somebody else to kill. He said the guy got angry. Believe me, I've had experience like that in my life also. I think you are just angry. They say pray, we can't nonsense pray that. Not praying anything. I'm angry. But the first time I understood it, when Adrima explained that the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on that anger. It must not die. The Bible said that, okay, you should not get angry tonight. Adrima said, no. That let that anger be hot. Let it not cool down. That's what it means. That the sun shouldn't go down. That there are certain things your anger should be burning concerning all the time. This was a few days ago. My son was ill. He was. I know the prayer I prayed for him that day. I'm sure that's how he got well. And he's like, look, come here. In that, this will not be normal. Father, give you thanks.
No. What kind of rubbish is this? You know that the house of this kind of house be? Wait, see, not try him again. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I go just vexing.
The boy said, amen, amen, amen. Go, you are well. Go. You know, because you know, parastamol day, Google friend day, anti malaria day, generally just get used to it. Now they have a headache, take that parastamol then. It's easier than praying. I mean, take it.
My leg is spinning.
Sorry, Jesus, like, don't pain him again. Don't pain him again. Well, go there. See that? Bring that syrup. She can take one spoon. Go and sleep. And they don't disturb you. So you're okay. If he doesn't have them like that, he doesn't want Peking sick. The next one, then I get the third one. Vex, 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 don't enter. And once vex sets in, the devil they retreat. So even before, don't vex him, don't vex him. Do you follow the point I make? That's what I mean by complacency. If you have been very poor in life, they finally got you one small job. For the first time, you don't have to pray for food. You talk like that for the last few years, you have to be very happy. After all, there was a time we had to pray for food. And God, God is looking. He wants to step to the next level. But you are grabbing, you know, God, please, Lord. There was a time I had to pray for food. There was a time I had to pray for food. Don't take me away from here. The Lord said, there are better places. Ah, no, no. There was a time I had to pray for food. Grabbing the thing tight. Love the year. What do we do? Sacking. Let him go back to praying for food. So that he can stop getting. Do you follow my point? What am I praying today? Sometimes for our seasons to change, we just have to get angry and get tired of a kind of season. There are things that after a while you are just bored. You say, Lord, the money, something is, I'm tired. I know they do it. And that was when my wife and I were talking. I said, listen, don't think it's every time God will just show you this is the next level, you step into it, you follow my point, and then the door will just, you know, open before you walk. He said, there are times, and it happens, listen, there are two ways. You know, I remember the pastor said something that Moses, when he was going to deliver the children of Israel, he stretched his hand, the Red Sea opened. They saw it open, they saw it separate, the land was dry before they walked in. He said, to cross the Jordan, it wasn't like that. The water did not separate until they walked into the water. They told the priest, enter. The priest carried their, they entered into the wet water. They got wet before the water now stopped. They just packed up somewhere, the rest flowed, and then the thing allowed them to cross. That there are times God will just open door like this. There are times you all walk into the door. Say, better open. I'm walking in. Better open. What I mean is this, instead of managing a level, sometimes they are trying to just beg, say, I know I'm not managing. I'm not working again, I'm sorry. Hunger will finish you. I said, I am not working again. Let this hunger finish you. God, if you, I've been on this level the last 5 years, I'm tired. You take me beyond this level, then let me die here. That is, that level, I'll walk away from it. I'll walk into hunger. I say, yeah, I'm leaving this one. I'm tired of this, I'm tired of it, I'm tired of it, I'm tired of it, I'm tired of it. I read the story of Jabez again. Quickly open to it. First Jabez chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 9 of First Chronicles chapter 4. And the Bible said that Jabez was honorable, more honorable than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez, verse 10, called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Why did I read this? As I was reading about this, I realized something. And what happened to Jabez was he got tired. Do you get my point? I'm like, to give birth to me, pain. Primary school, pain. Secondary school, pain. Everything trouble because his name You read through the scriptures, you will know that name has been afflicting him everywhere he went.
Yes.
And finally, one day, he went like Hannah.
Are you getting my point?
You know why I said that in Genesis 25, why I wrote that one down, was the same thing happened to Isaac. Isaac married, he brought Rebekah for him, and for 20 years, Rebekah did not bear him a child. Again, I believe, the time came, he too got tired. Before they had been arranging, don't worry, it's all right. After all, it's just a test story. Enjoy the Rebecca.
I wonder the guy just, what kind of nonsense is this?
That particular level, he just got tired of it. That's what I'm saying. So I read this before I got married. I said, wait, 20 years. Why did bro wait for 20 years? There are many reasons why we wait for 20 years. Sometimes the need for the next level is not pressing on us, so we relax. One of my friends said one day he had a clinic. This is going to make me laugh. I went in, I think Imo State. Amigo. Yes, Amigo. Imo State. He had been sick for like 3 days. He was alone in the house. He's a doctor. So one of those days, he was lying down there. He was sick, he had not eaten. He was really ill. And the nurse came to his house, knocked on the door. He said, doctor, patient's waiting for you. And he knocked, walked away again. And he dragged himself. And all he was thinking was, so if I had died inside here, all this nurse is thinking about is this patient. The patient is waiting for me. He dragged himself out. He swore, God, I am not going to be a single man after now. I think that year, he got married. For the following year. So wait. The man will just put me inside here. Nobody will all just burn down. His body starts smelling. He had been sick. He was he said, was the way the nurse came, knocked on the door. I just told him, you know, like flatly, doctor, you haven't seen me for a while. You didn't bother. Patients are waiting for you. And I walked away. He swore, said, dear Lord, this isn't it. It has come to an end. I said there are many aspects of this. There are times that's what God is waiting for from people. And I said, no, this is okay, we're managing. I said, no problem. I said, it's all right, it's all right. Just you and Rebecca, you guys are cool. I said, what else is the man looking for? I said, no problem. Once he has his wife, I said, no, wala. The point came, Isaac got tired. I believe that's what happened to Isaac. He said, no, you can't remain like this forever. You see, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know what that word fervent says? Amplified. Heartfelt. That is, there are two kinds of prayers. There is this, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, I will pray for you. Dear Father God, that brother that said I should pray for him. Bless him. Keep him. It is well with him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That prayer works. Just the dose is small. Potency is low. But you get some kind of prayer. No, your pastor. Not just your friend. Oh boy, I won't die now. That's how people talk about body. Listen. This is what I've come to understand. Bodies come from two levels. There's a body that comes because you are touched. When God needs work done, and the people are not, they can't be touched because they are not, you can't force yourself to be touched. Are you getting my point? So I'm going on the road, you're hurrying, you see a car, bam, jammed themselves, two people, driver injured, they are bleeding. Then we say, this is our roads. Careless driving. And you keep going. Because some other people have stopped. You say, okay, all right. But imagine they just say, as you are driving past, they just say, that's your brother. You know the way you go, ooh, you go turn. Run, go there. How far? Where is he? Are you okay? Ambrose, are you okay? Are you okay? You're bleeding from the nose. Look at the car. That's the one that you are what? Touched. Whether you're a Muslim, a Hindu, doesn't matter. That one is your brother. Or it's your wife, your relative. That's how people are touched. And one of the reasons why God gave us relationships so that people can pray for us. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke.